Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found in the gospel lesson of the day. It is Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Jesus told them a parable about the need to always pray and to not lose heart. There was a judge in a certain town who did not fear God and did not care about people. There was a widow in that town, and she kept going to him saying, "Give me justice from my adversary." For some time he refused, but after a while he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God or care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not wear me out with her endless pleading." The Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God give justice to his chosen ones who are crying out to him day and night? Will he put off helping them? I tell you that he will give them justice quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is our text. Dear people of God, prayer. Jesus encourages us to pray today, a much needed encouragement. But before we get into this story that Jesus tells us, let's review once what prayer is and what prayer is not. Prayer is not a means of grace. The means of grace are the gospel and word and sacrament. The word and sacraments come down from God to us. Your faith is created and fed through holy baptism, through the reading of the word, and through the supper. That is how God comes to you. Prayer is not God coming to you. Prayer is you going to God. See, the means of grace come down and prayer goes up. It's been described as a spiritual conversation. So prayer can only be done by a believer. Only a believer who has had faith created in him through baptism and the word of God is heard by the Lord. Those who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God and their Savior, well, they cannot approach the Father through the Son. They cannot go to the Father in the Son's name. They don't believe in him. And so they cannot pray. What they are doing is just flapping their lips. Prayer is also not an excuse not to come to church. I've heard it many times. "Oh, but Pastor, I pray." Trying to pray to the Lord without being fed by his means of grace is like a lumberjack who refuses to eat. His work will very quickly become poor and worthless. Like him, we need to be fed first, heartily, by word and sacrament, so that we do pray and so that we know what to pray for. So prayer is a privilege for God's dear chosen people who come to the Father through Jesus, his Son, who have been routinely fed by him. You get to walk right up to the Almighty and say and ask for anything. Now you would think that we would not need an encouragement to pray. You would think that the Christian would be in constant discussions with his dear Lord and Savior. You would think that, but we so often forget. Jesus says that we have a need to always pray and not lose heart. Prayer is not optional. We are to do it and not forget. This is the most gospel of invitations. The Lord stands there with his arms wide open saying, "Come, Christian, talk to me." It's like when I go to Great America with the teens and I have to push them. "Come on, let's go on the roller coasters. It's fun. This is our chance." And yet they still don't want to do it. Jesus says, Listen to what the unjust judge says. Learn the lesson of the story and pray. Thing is, this is a crazy story, as all of Jesus' stories are. See, if you don't pay attention to Jesus' stories, they just sound like nice little stories. But when you really dig into them and think about them, these stories are supposed to be about our world, but this doesn't sound like any world we live in. Let's start with the judge. He's described as a judge who did not fear God and did not care about people. What kind of judge is that? Judges care about people. That's why they're judges. They are there to help the poor and the helpless. The rich and the powerful don't need their help. The rich and the powerful can bully their way through this world. It's the poor and the helpless who need the help of a judge. And remember, Jesus is telling this story. So he's talking about a judge who is an Israelite. By definition, he is supposed to fear and love God above all things. This judge is supposed to know and love and follow the Old Testament scriptures, which have a lot to say, actually, about judges and widows. Here's just a few passages. Psalm 82, verse 3. Judge in favor of the weak and the fatherless. Acquit the oppressed and the poor. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Seek justice for the fatherless. Plead for the widow. It even comes with a threat. Malachi 3:5. I will approach you to judge you. I will be quick to give testimony against those who swear false oaths, those who cheat workers out of their wages, those who wrong a widow and a fatherless child, all those who do not fear me, says the Lord. See, this is a strange judge that the Lord Jesus describes, who did not fear God or care about people. And then there's the widow. She comes to his court asking for justice. But really what the word he is here is vengeance. She wants what's coming to her. She has a rock solid case and she deserves a favorable settlement. She wants to get back whatever she lost, and she is there seeking vengeance. You ever hear of a widow out for vengeance before? It's a very strange situation. And the story here is that the judge refuses to hear the case. He has no time for her and her pleas for vengeance. He just does not put her on the docket. So she goes outside of the courtroom. She starts bothering him at home, on the road, at the restaurant, at the city gates. When the judge says that this widow keeps bothering me, what the Greek really says here is that she's giving me a black eye. This lady is beating him up emotionally, mentally, and she is physically wearing him out with her persistent pestering. So the judge finally decides to hear the case, or maybe just rule from the bench for her. She won. She pestered him into finally doing his job. Anything to get her to shut up. The point of the story is clear, is it not? Pray continually, persistently, unceasingly. Pray at bedtime, pray at mealtime. Pray in the light, pray in the dark. Pray alone, pray in a crowd. Pray in your car. That's a really good place to pray. A lot of time is wasted sitting in our cars when you could be talking to the Lord who's sitting right next to you for the whole drive long. Your God is not like this unjust judge. In fact, Jesus' story is designed so that this judge looks like the opposite of your dear Savior. For Jesus does love God the Father with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength. Jesus does love and care for people, so much so that he did what? He bled And he sacrificed himself all to pay for our sins. Answer the question of verse number 7. It says, will not God give justice to his chosen ones who are crying out to him day and night? Of course he will. If the bad, godless judge will give justice to the persistent widow, then the good and gracious Father in heaven will be overjoyed to help you when you cry out to him in Jesus' name. Why? Well, look at what the Lord has done for you already. The Lord sent his most prized and valued possession into this world, his own Son, his one and only, holy, begotten Son, to suffer and to die in payment for every one of our sins upon that terrible cross of shame. God sacrificed his Son for you in order to purchase you to be his very own forever and ever. He paid such a high price for little old you. Is he going to turn his back on you now? It just makes logical sense that after paying the highest price that anyone has ever paid for anything to win your soul, the Lord is going to take care of you with special attention and will certainly listen to and answer all of your prayers. See, if God were as bad a God as that judge was a judge, he would still listen to you because of your constant prayers. Now imagine what God will do for you knowing that he loves you so much, that he is a way better God than that silly judge. Do you see Jesus' point? Pray to this God without ceasing. But I have to talk a little bit more here about this widow. Why did Jesus use the image of a widow in this story? Now, there are a lot of Old Testament passages about widows, that's very true. But there's more here. Because we are kind of like this widow. We being the church. All over the Bible, the church is called the bride of Christ. Christ is described as our bridegroom. Think about all those stories, like the 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom to come in the night, or other stories. Jesus is the perfect groom, the perfect husband. He's the model for our marriages. He gave all, even sacrificed himself for his bride, the church. Just like husbands give all for their wives. Now, like a widow, we Christians are living in this world without our Savior. Now, certainly he is with us always, even to the very end of the age, as he promised. But we don't see him. And we often feel alone. And we are waiting, just waiting for him to come so that we can see him again in heaven. You see the similarities? We have real reason to pray for the Lord Jesus to come again and usher in the end. And speaking of the end, Jesus confuses us a bit with the end of his story. Seemingly out of nowhere, he says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That seems to come out of nowhere unless we are the widow who are praying desperately for the end of the world to come. For when the end comes, will the Lord Jesus, the true judge of all, will he find anyone with faith? Will he find anyone praying and waiting for the end? Well, he'll find me, and he'll find you. He will find us trusting and crying out to him to come and help and to rescue us from all evil. Clearly the flock is small. Maybe only a few of us will be left at the end. Look around the world. You know it to be true. How many are really left who put all their faith in Jesus as the Son of God and as their Savior? Come, Lord Jesus. We need you now. So, dear Christians, yearn and long for and trust and pray for the Lord Jesus to come. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.